And, you know, and we know each and every one of us, you know, we're very fruitful. We got a lot of things going on. Somebody say, what do you mean fruitful? Well, I'm not going to say busy. We're never too busy not to come to serve the Lord. But we're fruitful. We do things for the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you ready to hear the word? Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to talk to you tonight, and probably just looking around, this is probably a real good message for Thursday night. What are we talking about? Well, we talk about operating in the gifts of miracles. There's a miracle that probably you can think back to. It's a miracle that you're still alive. It's a miracle that you've made it this far. It's a miracle that Satan didn't take you and kept you. Yeah, he did. I mean, there's a lot of bumps in the road that we all had, when a lot of things that happened in our life that could have ended up a whole lot worse. But that's one thing good about it. You didn't give up. You're still moving forward. You're still, you know, you may be limping. You may be wobbly, but you're still moving forward. You're still getting there. And like I've seen some people, and I remember I saw something on TV the other day about the military. A bomb went off and it hit the ground, and then they kept crawling to the enemy. They didn't give up. They kept crawling. They couldn't get up, or one of them had his leg hurt, but he was crawling with his rifle to go get the enemy. And that's the same thing that a lot of Christians do, is we get wounded, but we keep going forward. Now, you probably know a bunch that got wounded and just stayed there and didn't do nothing. Said, this is too much for me. I don't want to do nothing to do with this. But I can tell you, the other side is going to be a whole lot better. So we got to not look at the immediate thing that what's going on. Let's look at what God's got planned for you down the road. You know, and not only did healing by Jesus require the leading, the power, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. See, we're still talking about the Holy Spirit here. There's power in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just like I told last Sunday about you've got to have the Holy Spirit. Jesus had to have the Holy Spirit because he was a man. He was born of a woman, right? He was a man, just a human just like we are. But he had to have the Holy Spirit. And what happened when he had the Holy Spirit? He did things that people said, oh, you can do the same thing. Right? Because if you got the Holy Spirit, if you're operating through the Holy Spirit, and, you know, and he did everything, so every miracle and every supernatural work that was performed in his ministry, it was because of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, a lot of people take the Holy Spirit as a joke. I've heard people joke about it. I've heard people say, oh, that's, you know, they'll even talk about it, but they just don't understand the power in the Holy Spirit. They don't understand it. They think, well, just because somebody gives a message that's the Holy Spirit. Well, true it is. But I'm talking about the full pledge of the Holy Spirit, where the Spirit of God is moving in you to a point where, you know, you're giving a message in tongues and it's interpreted in English. That is the full manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we don't want to ever stop the Holy Spirit from moving, because why? That's powerful. You saw what Jesus did. You saw all that take place. And, you know, when Jesus walked on the water, think about that. When Jesus walked on the water, he was operating in the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, especially the gift of miracles. That would be a miracle if I saw somebody walk across the water. If you have a pool at your home, you see somebody walk across. That's a miracle. But, you know, if this power to walk on this water belonged to Jesus, you know, it would be impossible for other people to do that, right? But the word tells us somebody else did walk on the water. Another person walked on that water. But, you know, because Jesus wasn't the only one walking on water. So it's just not saying, well, he was Jesus, he could walk on water. Yeah, he could walk on the water, just like we can walk on the water if we're full of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, it's like, I was thinking about that the other day. It's like having a single shot 12 gauge or a double barrel shotgun. It's a whole lot different.
Yep.
And I tell you, I'd rather have the double barrel than I would just, I mean, in a situation, sure, a single shot 12 gauge is good. But a double barrel, that if you miss the first one, you can get another one right there. So what I'm saying is, we want that power. And you know, I can speak for me. I want that power. I want that same power that Jesus has. And I want more of the Holy Spirit in me to operate, to be able to move and do things supernatural.
Yeah.
You know, and I believe that there's a lot of supernatural that takes place in God's house right here. But a lot of people are shunning it away because they don't believe in all that kind of stuff. Oh, it's only because of Jesus. Yes, it's because of Jesus, because he has left us with the Holy Spirit to live on the inside of us, to be our helper.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, to be full of that Holy Spirit is what we need, because we know what happened. The Apostle Peter, he walked on water, right? He went out to Jesus. And you know, we think about that, and he says, well, that's Jesus. Yes, it was Jesus. But he was full of the Holy Spirit. Peter was at the time full of the Holy Spirit. But what happened when he got out there and he took his eyes off of Jesus? He looked at the storm. He looked at his headache. He looked at his backache. He looked at his knee ache. He looked at his finances. He looked, you see what I'm saying? We do the same. We don't look at the storm. We look at the storm of our life, which is, Where's you know, I need a raise. I can't pay my bills. I can't do this. I got a neck ache. I got a back ache. I got this going on. I got all this stuff going on in my life. You get your eyes off of that and put them back on Jesus.
Amen.
And get full of the Holy Ghost, and you can walk on water just like Peter did, but stay looking at Jesus. Don't look at the problem. Look at the problem solver. Hallelujah. But, you know, both Jesus and Peter were operating with the gifts of miracles. They, you know, thank God of the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And you know, we can to ask people to come forward if you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, praying in tongues, and have the power of the Holy Spirit. A lot of people back up from it. I don't know about you, I'd run to it.
Yeah.
I mean, I can remember the first time I got introduced into it in this wild church. And I can tell you, I ran to learn, and I wanted more. I wanted to see more, because I could see what was happening to people that were in that church. When the pastor would lay hands on them, I would see, why did they do this? Because they come expecting to receive. If you're not coming to expect, you're not expecting to receive something, guess what? You're not going to receive it. Hallelujah. But you think about, you know, we want to thank God for the gift of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, like Sunday, I think, but just like I was talking about the minister in Baton Rouge that was ministering, she would just walk right past them and they would fall out because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we need to understand that there's power. There's power in the Holy Spirit. Just like we sing a song, there's power in His blood. There's power in God, Jesus' blood. There's power. But there's also power in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And you know, and it's nothing. I don't know about you, but I want everything that's powerful that God has for me.
Amen.
You know, just like when you walk around the supermarket or whatever, and you walking through there, and you have these little tables set up with all these little hors d'oeuvres. I'll try. I mean, I got my little, stick my little toothpick in it. I said, man, that's good. Would you like another? Sure. I'm going to take whatever they get. Just like with the Holy Spirit. You want to take what the Holy Spirit wants to give you. A lot of people say, oh, I don't know. Somebody might have sneezed on that. I got the authority. Remember what I read about that earlier? God said, I've given you the authority to trample. You're going to sneeze all over. That's good ham. I love that ham. That's some good roast beef. You know, I mean, think about it. God has a lot to give us. A lot of times we say, oh, no, I don't want it. I don't want that. But you're here tonight to hear that you, if you want it bad enough, God's going to give it to you. But he's not going to pour it on you, but he'll give it to you if you ask him. But that gifts and the anointings of the Holy Spirit were often performed in the Old Testament, right? We saw a lot of that in the Old Testament by men and women of God, and they were moved by the Spirit. Of the 9 spiritual gifts or the manifestation listed in 1 Corinthians 12, 7 can be traced throughout the Old Testament. And you know, only the gifts of tongues and the interpretation of tongues seem to be unique in the New Testament. Why is that? Because Jesus sent us the Holy Spirit. They didn't have it then. Now they do. The interpretation and speaking in tongues and praying in tongues, the gift of tongues. It's a power. You know, it's a power that is given to us if we want it. It's available. It's like going to look at a new vehicle. You can have this vehicle and all this is available to you for no charge. But you understand, but the Holy Spirit, this is yours. This is yours to have for you to have free of charge. The only thing that happened, Jesus went to the cross for us. We don't pay nothing. He paid it all for us to receive that. And you know, we have to understand that we have to believe that the gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues seem to be unique in the New Testament believers. Now, but you understand when you're in your a long time or in a corporate setting and there's an announcement, let's pray in tongues, then it's done that way. And we can pray in tongues and we can speak to the Holy Spirit. We speak to God directly. And we have to understand that everything Jesus accomplished while he was on this earth, he accomplished as a man, not as God. Huh? Ain't that right? And you know, we must accept the fact that Jesus only accomplished these things as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. When did the Holy Spirit come upon God? On Jesus. There you go. So he was walking around here as a carpenter's son for a long time, and then all of a sudden he got baptized and the Holy Spirit came upon him. And that's when the power started working for him, didn't it? And, you know, we realize this, we will have a greater appreciation for Jesus as our personal Savior. You know, because he was just like one of the boys. He was a man, but filled with the Holy Spirit. And he was trying to get it through some of those fishermen and those other people and tax collectors and all those people he was hanging with, trying to teach them about the things of God, the things of the Holy Spirit, how the power is there and what to do. Some of them got it. Some of them didn't. Sounds familiar to today's churches. Some get it. Some don't. But we have to understand that Jesus was a man just like anybody else. Matter of fact, he could show up at the men's breakfast. He showed up at the men's conference. I know that for sure. But what I'm saying is that Jesus operated with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And the reason why Jesus could call the legions, now think about this now, when he was on the cross, think about the time that he could have called these 10,000 angels for his rescue, right? Think about that. He could have done that. But he was a man. If he was God, he wouldn't have had to call. He just got down off the cross. But he was a man. And he prayed for God to do that. You know, if he was speaking in his deity, he wouldn't have had to pray or ask God to do anything. He just spoke it and they had to get him off that cross. You see what I'm saying? He was a man just like us. And Jesus is God. Now here we go. What is he? Well, Jesus is God, and God is all-powerful. No devil, angel, or man is in danger to God or Jesus. Because why? Because he was anointed by the Holy Spirit, just like us. That Satan cannot harm us if we're full of the Holy Spirit. Think about that. God doesn't need to be delivered from anything. He's the deliverer. So we try to put it all on God. Say, God, why is all this going on in my life? What's it? Why is this happening? Why is all this happening? Well, He's already delivered you from that, and you just got to grab a hold to His word. Because what did He say? You got authority. I've given you authority to trample. Yeah. So whatever it is in your life that needs trampling, start trampling. Praise the Lord. You know, and only man or humans need deliverance. Not God, not Jesus. But you think about it. Well, look in Matthew 26:53. Matthew 26:53. He says, or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and He will provide me with more than 12 legion of angels? This is Jesus talking right now. And you know, if Jesus were speaking from His deity, why would He have to pray to God, for He is God Himself? You see what I'm saying? Do you realize that the angels are at disposal for every believer? Now, how many times you've heard this? Well, God needed that little angel. She's going to be the best little angel up in heaven. No. When we die, we don't go as an angel. No. We have the front row seat. Angels, what did I just say? You know, angels are at our disposal for every believer. When we pray, sometimes you may have heard us. We call in a hedge of protection, and we send out the angels to protect. We have the authority over that to do that. So you think about it, when you say, well, I'm gonna be the prettiest angel up there. No, you're not. You're going to be right up in the front row. You're going to be right there at the big dining room table. You're going to have the feast of your life. You're going to be doing that. Why? And then the angels are going to be behind you. You understand? It's just like when we go do places right now, and you think about it. When you're at a place, say you go to a restaurant. You're sitting at a restaurant, and you know you may not, you're not going to see it, but I'm going by what the Word of God says. You got angels right behind you, surrounding you, protecting you. Every born-again believer, that's what it says in His Word, right? So we need to realize that angels are at our disposal. Just like we need to use them, right? The Holy Spirit is at our disposal. We need to use the Spirit of God. I mean, you understand. A lot of people won't use it. Same thing with the angels. We need to use whatever God gives us to use. We need to use it to do what we need for whatever it is we need. Hallelujah. I want you to look in Hebrews 1:14. Hebrews 1:14. Y'all getting anything out of this? All right. Hebrews 1:14 says, therefore, angels are only servants. Spirit sent to care for people who will inherit salvation. You see what I'm saying? Angels are only servants. So when you say something about, God needed another angel there. No, God don't need another angel or servant. He needs what He needs. He needs you. He needs our spirits with Him in heaven. And you know, and it's also for the ones that will inherit salvation. So you see what I'm saying? That God loves us to where we're not servants. the angels are the servants. He's already got His angels. You know, they're already picked out. They're already surrounding us here at this place. And I believe whenever, like that storm the other day, it surrounded this church. But I believe there's an angel that's protecting this place while we're at home sleep. And he's at your home. But I believe that God's angels are surrounding us and protecting us wherever we go. And understanding this call is for a greater appreciation of what a remarkable Savior Jesus truly is. When we find out just how much, we hear it all the time, how much Jesus loves us. And it's truly remarkable to understand how much he really loves us and how he surrounded his will to the Father's will here on earth. He followed the will of God all the way to his death. That's awesome. And that's who a lot of people are putting down and mocking and making fun of what Jesus did. But you think about it. He did that for us so that we could make it to heaven. You know, but God's purpose was that Jesus should function as a man while here on earth. Jesus came in flesh and blood, right? And he lived as a man. He lived amongst us. What would Jesus do? But you know, we have to understand by being filled with the Spirit of God that we can accomplish miraculous and outstanding things. And becoming a man, Jesus could be given, he was given that authority by the Father to execute judgment on this world. And you know, and it's coming. Judgment is coming to this world. And you know, it's kind of like you get close enough to something, you just feel the hair on your back just kind of stand up a little bit. You know that it's coming. You can just sense it in your spirit that things are fixing to take place. And you know, and we serve a mighty God. But you know, we have to understand that these things pass through this world. The Spirit of God is wanting to move, and a lot of people are shutting him down. And it's sad because we need the Spirit of God. You know, it's necessary for Jesus to become a man in order for God to bring, I guess you'd say, and execute his plan here on this earth. You saw what he did, they did to Jesus when he told him he was, I am him. They wanted to kill him. You know, that's what makes me wonder sometimes, like when new people would come in, or do we greet them as special, like Jesus would do us. When we got born again, he greeted us right there at the altar, and he loved us so much that he died for us. But you think about that. God's plan called for the earthly ministry of Jesus to be performed and completed as a man of flesh and blood, whose source of power was the Holy Spirit. You know, and the Holy Spirit dwells in us, right? And, you know, we can call upon the Holy Spirit and use the Holy Spirit and use the angels that are given to us to help protect us, surround us. But you think about it, spiritually, we got one right with us. Wherever we go, he's with us. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, has sent his angels to protect us wherever we go. And that's what he wants. He wants his people. He is, you know, he's seeking those who are searching after him. And, you know, not if something else is coming up and let's go to that instead. You understand? And you know, especially when the time is getting shorter and shorter and shorter. And, you know, that's why we ask people to invite for Resurrection Sunday. Invite your family. Invite your neighbors. Invite the people. And, you know, say, well, I invited. They didn't want to come. Well, they've got some more people to invite. You know, sometimes you just got to turn and go get something else. Go get somebody else. Ask somebody else. But, you know, that is a very important time in our life is his resurrection. Is when he died for us and he was raised from the dead and he sent his Holy Spirit to us. And that's very, 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 very important. So it's a time to celebrate, yes. It's a time for us to be serious before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords for what he did for us and not for what we think he did. But we thank him for what he did for us so that we can live forever in heaven with him. Praise the Lord. Did you get anything out of this today?